All right, next up we got Billy presenting his baking soda volcano experiment.
Hey guys, how we doing? All right, so you see if I put a solid amount of baking soda in here and then a little bit of vinegar here. it's supposed to explode.
Oh, fuck!
Quickly, organize a single file line in alphabetical order.
Hey, I'm first.
No, you're not, bro. I'm first.
Your last name is literally Johnson.
I have two last names.
Listen, bro, I'm not saying we shouldn't have school drills and all, but what I am saying is the school drills we do have are straight bullshit. Like, if there was a fire in my class, I'm jumping straight out the window, the fuck? There is no way you'll catch me waiting for Alexander and Arnold to debate who's first in line while I'm out here getting sautéed. And shit, fire drills aren't even close to being the worst of the drills, cause we got lockdown drills. Now, I don't know who planned out these drills, but goddamn, these drills are ass. Now, if you never had lockdown drills, they're pretty much a foolproof plan set in place to completely counter anyone pulling up to school with a strap. You see, the plan is pretty simple. You lock the door, gather all the students into the corner of the class, and you turn the lights out. And the reason we turn the lights out is so we can politely tell the intruder that nobody's home. Now, if every classroom followed these steps perfectly, we might even be able to convince the dude that it's a pro D-Day or something. Now listen, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, I really do, but there's one minor flaw in this plan. The shooter's in the class, bruh. You're out here telling the opposition your exact game plan, then you're surprised when bro pulls up to the hiding spot? Like shit, it's just easy pickings at this point. Now, earthquake drills, man. The game plan here is to essentially hop under your desk and start counting. Now, when I was in kindergarten, I thought this whole earthquake drill thing was a fun game we played to learn how to count. But 12 years later, we were still counting. Like, let's be honest. What the fuck is counting gonna do? Are you telling the earthquake how long it has to dismantle the school? Cause I'm pretty sure it doesn't give a shit how long it takes. Me personally, I feel like the best way to see if an earthquake is over is by observing whether or not the entire fucking building is shaking. But listen, I will say this. Out of all the drills, the earthquake drill is pretty valid. Like, whoever thought of this one was kinda cooking. I mean, these desks are pretty much made out of steel, bro. Like, out of all my years, I've never seen one break before. So it probably provides some solid protection. But shit, me personally, I'm still jumping through the fucking window, bruh. I don't care how many times I practice crouching under my desk. If I ever felt the slightest shake in the ground, I'm out of that hole. So if you carry the 674 to the power of 2 over to the 47, you will find-
Oh shit!
Well, why did Change just dive out of the window?
Shit, I don't know.
Now I'ma keep it a stack. I've never done a single tornado drill in my life. So after doing some quick research, it looks like you just, you do this. Now I don't know shit about tornadoes, but what I do know is that I'm not gonna be doing this shit. Like, I'm no scientist, but I don't think the doggy position is gonna stop the tornado from packing you up. So to be honest, once again, I'm jumping out the fucking window, bro. Like, that's just my default reaction. And if that tornado ends up putting me on a t-shirt, then so be it. At least the last position I was in before I died was not the face down, cheeks up pose. But bro, imagine being the kid who poorly timed his piss and now the fire alarm's going off midstream. And you don't even get to know if it's a drill or not. Then there's the whole do you wash your hands dilemma, right? Cause you don't wanna get trapped in the fire and fucking die, but on the other hand, you don't wanna just not wash your hands. Cause if it's a drill, then you're just left with dirty ass hands. And while you're trying to decide whether to wash your hands or not, the class is outside taking attendance like
Rosalina.
Here.
Jared.
Here.
Chains.
Chains?
Oh fuck. Where did Chains go?
I don't know, bruh.
Shit.
Oh, no, I was just in the bathroom.
Woo, you scared me there for a second. Wait, did you wash your hands?
No, I was in a little bit of a rush.
Get back in there and wash your hands, buddy.
Now, the thing about school drills is they happen pretty often. I mean, every few weeks they throw in a fire drill here and a little earthquake drill there. So when the fire bell actually goes off, motherfuckers just assume it's a drill. They're out here horsing around, making jokes and shit, while the school's actually getting fucking cremated. But after almost all the drills are alphabetical, single file line goes out to the front of the school and on the field with every other class. And the amount of buffoonery that goes down on this field is insane, bro. I mean, everyone walks in with a single file line, but after 5 minutes, that shit looks like a Travis Scott concert, bro. Like, I remember one time my high school got a bomb threat called in, so every class assembled the good old alphabetical line, and we went out onto the field. And we were out there for a minute, bro. I remember looking around, and these motherfuckers were running the world's biggest game of Duck Duck Goose, like there wasn't a whole ass bomb threat called into our school. That same day, one kid brought a football to the field, and all of a sudden, motherfuckers are running a pickup game while we're waiting to see if our school is gonna explode or not. And of course, the teachers tried to stop it, but these kids just used it as a diversion play and got another touchdown. Alright, so now that we thoroughly dissected each and every school drill, it's only fair we hit them with a tier list. So let's see what we got here. We're starting with lockdown drills. What are we saying? Fucking F tier. Holy shit, they are ass. Alright, next up we got fire drills. Now these drills do get the job done, but I'm not gonna lie. I'm not fucking with this whole single file alphabetical bullshit. So I'm gonna have to give this John a C tier. Now tornado drills, you gotta go in the doggy position. Bro, I got no choice but to give this a D tier. And last but not least, my personal favorite, earthquake drills. They're still kinda ass, B tier. And bro, I know some of y'all may be thinking, you can't just talk shit about the school drills and not present any better solution. Well, lucky for you, I have devised the best and only way to fully counter any natural or artificial disasters. It's simple. For a guy like me who's 7 feet, 325 pounds, 0.5% body fat, and a 7 foot wingspan, I just simply remove myself from the situation. However, I do understand that I am built different. So for your average Joe, I have devised another plan. It's also simple. The moment some shit goes down, everyone runs at full speed out of the building. And of course, some would argue that not everyone is gonna be able to make it out of the building in time, and that some people are faster and stronger than others, and you know what that's called? Natural selection. You see, if I was principal, instead of running students through these impractical drills, I would be running students through a different kind of drills. I would have my students in peak physical condition. Instead of a fire bell, I would have a push-up bell. At any given time, if that shit goes off, you drop down and give me 50, or your ass is getting expelled. You see, this way, when there's a fire, everyone can simply remove themselves from the situation. Or in other circumstances, they can simply intervene.
Now I really don't have many fears, but there are four things that I would say I'm truly scared of, which are sleep paralysis, being flipped over while I'm in a porta potty, this thing, and public speaking. And honestly, I can't even really explain why I'm scared of public speaking. I mean, sleep paralysis, you'll have demons chilling in your room while you can't move. The whole porta potty thing, that's just some traumatic shit. And this thing is fucking terrifying. But there's just something about talking in front of more than 5 people that has me shitting bricks. Like, my brain will start showing me the absolute worst case scenarios possible. hi guys, my name is Chain.
Get off
Boo.
The stage, loser.
No one likes you. hi guys, my name is... So I volunteer at daycares because I really like young kids. I love young kids. I mean, not love, like they're only 4 years old. No, like I'm not attracted to-
Sir, hands behind your back.
That's why I'm scared of public speaking. And even worse than normal public speaking was school speeches. And if you saw my going to school high video, you would know I have a pretty bad record when it comes to speeches.
Sorry, Tyrus, t-
Tyrannosaurus Rex has short arms. Don't worry about it. You can sit down. You could just go tomorrow. It's all right.
In fact, after I failed miserably while trying to present my speech well zooted, some motherfuckers was flaming me for it. So you know me. I had to get my get back. So when speeches came around next year, I put my heart and soul into that shit. And it wasn't just a speech. It was a spoken word, so it all had to rhyme. I mean, I was whipping up some heat. I was writing bar after bar like Kendrick. Shit, I had to have a fire extinguisher on standby while I was writing that shit. And I was never the dude to actually study. Like, I would start learning while I was taking the tests. If Y equals MX plus B, then who invented the Eiffel Tower? I guess Y equals MX plus B. I mean, even though I did bad on all my tests, maybe I can just get a job drawing stick men or some shit. Anyway, so I never studied, I never did homework. But when it came to this spoken word, I had something to prove. I mean, it felt like motherfuckers was preying on my downfall. So I actually spent my own free time at home practicing and perfecting this spoken word. So by the time I had to present, I was prepared as fuck. I mean, don't get me wrong, I was still shitting bricks. But when I got up there,
Chains, get up here. And don't stutter like last time, alright, buddy?
He's gonna stutter for sure.
Don't get on here rapping, I'm stacking, making it happen. Okay? I've been perfecting this speech while Yajits was lacking. You don't want beef with me, I put you on a tee, I call that shit fashion.
Okay.
I'll put you in a box like some cereal. You'll get crunched, I'm the captain.
Captain Crunch.
Now let me stir it up like some mac and cheese. I want 100% like curry from the three. I'm talking all A's, no B's. Bitch, I'm blessed like a sneeze blue. Honey's like the seas. I'm too icy, I might freeze cause I'm him. I'm not talking slash he.
God damn.
Spitting right now. I went bonkers, bro. In fact, I went so bonkers, the teacher volunteered me to go present my speech to the entire school. Now, usually, I would be way too scared to public speak in front of that many people. But right now, I'm all hyped up on how bananas my speech went. Plus, I spent all that time perfecting it. I might as well share the heat with the rest of the school. Alright, next up is Chains with a spoken word on... Don't get on here rapping. Don't get on here stacking. I mean rapping. Stacking. I'm happing. You don't want beef with me because, quite frankly, I will put you on a t-shirt. I mean, you could call that fashion. Thank you guys for having me. I fucking fumbled. I folded under the pressure, bro. With the entire school watching my fear of public speaking absolutely crush me. And that is the reason why I have a fear of public speaking.
My first time eating magic mushrooms. Now this story takes place on a spooky Halloween night. And of course, when you're young, Halloween is about dressing up and getting candy from strangers. But as you get older, you grow to realize the true meaning of Halloween is to commit as many devious and malicious crimes in one night as humanly possible. Like when me and my homies first transformed from some young, innocent gentlemen into some unethical and deceitful delinquents, we planned out some criminal activities for our first teenager Halloween. Yo, trick-or-treating is for nerds. We're gonna drink alcohol and smoke grass.
Whoa. Yeah.
That is so teenager. So you know, we drink their drink and we smoked our grass. Man, I sure could fuck up some Reese's Pieces right now. Not gonna lie, some Skittles would be fire. Alright, fuck it. So we threw on last year's Halloween drip and shamelessly went trick-or-treating baked as fuck.
Trick or treat. Aren't you guys a little bit old to be trick or treating? No, but we got our candy and we went back to Billy's crib and the munchies took over. I mean, we fucked that shit up so fast that we changed costumes and we spun the block. Trick or treat. Didn't you guys already come here?
No. There's a snake in my boot.
So all Halloween, me and the gang pretty much just ate chocolate. But by the time next year rolled around, okay, this Halloween is going to be the best Halloween yet. But how can we top last year? Yeah, we already smoked grass and ingested alcohol well underaged. Cause I got these. This dude, Billy, whips out a handful of shrooms. And honestly, Billy didn't even need to convince us, cause me and Bob were trying to have the best Halloween ever. So we split it up, and we all down a sizable amount of magic mushrooms for our first time. And let me tell you, there are many smooth ways to consume some magic mushrooms. One being the pizza technique. As well as the good old PB and Shroom Sammy. However, we had smoked and we had drank before, but magic mushrooms were completely out of our expertise. So we just choked them shits down raw. And it was strange. It tasted like I just ate earth. If earth was dry as fuck and like chewy. But about 20 minutes after eating the shrooms, Billy has a genius idea. Okay, hear me out. We go trick-or-treating, collect some candy real quick, and come back. So when these mushrooms hit, we can be eating good. Okay. Wait, then we need some costumes. Okay, I do have 3 costumes, but like, just don't ask any questions, okay? Why do you have no questions, bro? Now let's go get this bag of candy. So we're mobbing around the neighborhood in some gangster Teletubby suits. And we roll up to the first house like...
Trick or treat.
Aw, you guys are so cute. And we were banging out house after house. But after about 4 houses, I started to notice my Teletubby mitts were looking a little suspicious. But I didn't have time to think about the psychedelics that were potentially invading my brain because I had bigger priorities. Go cop some Halloween candy.
Trick or treat.
But as we walked up to the 8th house, I was undeniably tripping balls. Cause as I looked up at Bob, I just started uncontrollably laughing my ass off. And Bob's shrooms must have kicked in too, because we were both just hysterically laughing at each other for no reason. But then the door opened and I saw this tall ass bald dude with an unconceivably large smile on his face. I mean, the shrooms made it look like his smile was just unproportionately big and I just assumed it was a Halloween mask.
Man, I love your Halloween costume.
What costume?
Oh, holy shit. We need to get home ASAP. So we're making our way back home, tripping balls in our Teletubby costumes, and I'm just seeing the stars falling out of the sky. Then out of nowhere, Billy yells, "What the fuck is that?" I'm probably just tripping, but it looks like zombies running towards us at full speed. Oh, yeah. I see it too. Oh shit, we gotta run. So me, Billy, and Bob start booking it back to Billy's house. And I am hauling ass because there is no way I'm getting packed up by some zombies right now. And when I look back, I don't see some zombie costume. No, I see some real ass zombies. Like, bones sticking out, eyeballs look like they haven't blinked in centuries, and that shit just made me run faster. Cause to me, this was a life or death situation. I mean, in reality, it probably just looked like...
Ah! 360 Ooga Booga Booga!
We get back to Billy's crib.
Holy shit, get in, get in.
Lock it, lock it, lock it.
And we were not taking any chances. I mean, we barricaded every single door in the entire house. And for a second, it was a horrible trip. I mean, I thought I was in the zombie apocalypse. But once we settled down, we were having the time of our lives, chilling and eating candy while tripping balls.
Booga booga!
Man, the very moment my Stickman lips graze the tip of that sweet, sweet Zaza, it's wraps for all the food in the fridge. And as soon as that THC tickles my brain, it's GG's. The food in my closet is already consumed, bruh. And shit, when I run out of food in the crib, I give my condolences to the local McDonald's workers. Cause man, I'm about to have those motherfuckers working overtime. Now listen, man, shout out to all my big homies out there, but I'm gonna make it clear real quick that I am not one of y'all. In fact, I make sure that I am precisely 64 pixels wide at all times. However, I will say mentally and in my heart, I am a little bit of an EDP-445. No. I like food. What I was trying to say is that I like food, and usually I can resist food, but once that devil's lettuce gets a hold of my brain, I become a certified fat ass. I'm talking 750 pixels wide at least. I'm eating anything in sight, and as soon as I run out of food, I go to a new site and eat everything in sight again. And honestly, this shit is becoming a problem, bro.
No shit, buddy, your arteries are clogging.
Yeah, yeah.
And your blood pressure is through the roof.
Yeah. Yeah, that too.
And you're developing type 7 diabetes.
Whoa, type 7? I thought there was only two types.
There was, until your fat ass decided to eat 87 ice cream sandwiches. How the fuck do you stomach 87 ice cream sandwiches?
Anyways, man, the munchies are lit, bro, because it's the only time you can truly taste each individual atom as it hits your tongue. Like, eating some good food while high is like a meditation, bro. Like, when you're zooted munching on some Doritos and you start closing your eyes, shit, you might just fuck around and become the Dorito. Now, this happens to me on a routinely basis, and as heavenly as that experience is, I must warn you, when you come out of your Dorito coma, you will be at least 5 bags deep in that motherfucker, and your hands may never be the same. Man, I'm still trying to recover to this day. Yeah, my Doritos still taste like fingers, bro. And if staining my fingers orange and developing a new type of diabetes sounds bad, my munchies addiction gets worse, bro. Because when you combine the zooted desire for food with the distorted judgment of the baked brain, shit, that's the perfect equation to put me in the crippling debt. Especially back in the day, because as a youngin', the only thing I was cooking was my brain cells, bro. So that meant I had to buy food. And to put it into simpleton terms, well, I was broke as shit. I remember one hot sunny day, me and the boys were chilling at a carnival with some of our other boys, and one of those boys whips out his dap pen. And so of course everyone flocks around that dude and chiefs the fuck out of his dap pen, and 15 minutes later, that shit hit. But you know what hit even harder? The goddamn munchies. And so there I was, walking around the carnival, absolutely blasted, with $50 to my name, looking for something to eat. And don't get me wrong, the carnival had lots of options, but they were really taxing out here, and for a dude with 50 bones to his name, I needed to find the most bang for my buck. And there I saw it. It was beautiful. A pink ice cream truck glistening in the summer sun. So you know I had to hop in line, and as I'm waiting in this line, the dude in front of me turns around, and he's like, damn, bro, you look high as giraffe balls, dude. What? Me? Nah, what? Me? No. Hey, don't worry, dude. I am too. Oh, shit. So me and my newfound homie are just chopping it up, talking about how sensational this ice cream is about to be, and soon enough, it was the homie's turn to order. Yo, dude, let me borrow one of those cookie dough ice cream cones. Alrighty, here you go. That'll be $12. $12, bro? That's like half my net worth. Trust me, it's worth it, dude. Yo, let me get a cookie
cone.
All right, cookies and cream, here you go. And as I licked that thing, man, that shit was sensational as fuck. But as I turned around, I seen the baked homie step into a pothole and absolutely fumble his ice cream cone. And I'm not gonna lie, that was some of the saddest shit I ever seen. So I go walk over to give him some of mine. Hey man, you want some cookies and cream? Oh shit, thank you man. Bro, did you just drop both of our $12 ice cream cones? Fuck. Then we were back in line like nothing ever happened. But man, waiting in that sun, my mouth was parched and my eyes were dry. And by the time we made it to the end of the line, I was looking like dried up SpongeBob, bro. Hey, it's you again.
Can I get the cream, the one with the cream. Yeah.
And at last, after dropping half my net worth on ice cream, I took a big bite of that ice cream cone and man, I felt every sugar granule, every atom, every proton and electron contained within that bite. And for the time being, the munchies were cured. When you link a girl and you both bring a friend, man, what could possibly be better than a two-man mission?
Three-man mission.
And when you go on a three-man mission, you need to be able to trust those homies with your life, bro. Cause I don't know why, but 100% of the time you go on a three-man mission, somebody's gotta take one for the team, bro. Like, it's just inevitable. And if your homie isn't willing to eat the shit sandwich in order to see the gang succeed, the entirety of the gang is eating the shit sandwich, bro. And on top of that, you need your homies to have your back when you crack a shitty ass joke. Cause if you're in a group of six people and not a soul laughs, nah, you're done, bro. Like, you're cooked. You're sauteed, bro. Like, pack it up. It's over with. Like, yo, guys, what do you get when you mix human DNA with goat DNA? Oh, my God. What do you get? Wait, no, let me guess. Let me guess. No, I don't know. What do you get?
Kicked out the petting zoo.
Fuck. Fuck, fuck, I sold.
Actually, that's a really good joke.
Facts.
Wait, it was?
And lucky for me, I got the two most perfect dudes for the job. Bob and Billy, so you know we were no strangers to the game. Like, we had 99 chemistry, bro. We were like Jordan, Pippen, and Rodman, setting up these plays, passing, alley-ooping, and dunking that shit. In these streets, they called us the real Big Three, and one day, the real Big Three hopped on a plane to Mexico. And this story takes place way, 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 way back. Like a month ago. And this story doesn't just contain one three-man. Not two three-mans, but three different three-man missions. And with these three different chances, will me, Bob, and Billy be able to find love in Mexico? Or will we get set up and kidnapped by the cartel? Find out coming up on this episode of Billy, Bob, and Chains.
Wait a minute.
So, boom! We get to Mexico and we're staying at an Airbnb, so we start with all the essentials. We unpack, get some food, check out the rooms, download Tinder, play some music, get settled in, you know, shit like that. And some of you may be thinking, damn, Chains, Tinder? Shit, I didn't know you were down bad like that.
And let me just clear this up, alright? I'm not, okay?
I'm down horrendous. And you really don't know me at all if you thought I was gonna leave Mexico without running a three-man with the homies. So I'm just doing what I gotta do. Don't hate the player, hate the game. So we got there on a Monday, and for the first few days, we're exploring, we're trying some food, going to the beaches. It's great, you know, a bunch of nice and relaxing shit. But at night, it was grind time, bro. I was swiping more than a girl with daddy's money, and I was shooting more shots than Drizzy Drake at his local middle school. So by the time Thursday rolled around, I secured the first
three-man mission
of the trip. And when I told the boys, they were hyped as fuck. I mean, Bob was so excited, dude almost made a facial expression. So before we went out, we had to get teed up. And lucky for us, we spent half our food budget on a few bottles of vodka. So we're absolutely down in that shit until our Uber pulls up. We hop in the Uber and get dropped off by some bars where we plan to meet the girls. Now keep in mind, at this point, all I've seen of this girl is pictures. And you know there's a brutal catfishing epidemic going on. So let's just say, it's completely in the realm of possibility that I set up a link with
three big buff Mexican dudes. And Lord knows I'm crossing my fingers. like hopefully there's like no big buff Mexican. I don't want the big buff Mexican dude. So my heart dropped to my balls when I got a tap on my shoulder and turned around to see a not so buff Mexican dude with another not so buff Mexican dude with the three girls.
Oh, hey. Oh no, don't worry. These are just my friends, by the way. Hey.
Hi. Oh, shit. That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, what's up?
And not only was I relieved that she wasn't a jack dude, but she was fine, nice, and she spoke English. Same with Bob's girl and Billy.
Yeah, nah, he had to take one for the team for sure.
Hey, bro, I'm sorry, but this is just the way the cookie crumbled.
Shit, bro, can we get another cookie?
It's too late, bro, it's already crumbled.
And Billy took that shit like a champ, bro.
So all eight of us go to a bar and we're just talking, getting to know each other and shit. And I notice Billy just keeps the tequila shots coming.
I mean, we were only 10 minutes into the conversation, but this dude is 10 shots deep at this point.
And all of a sudden, this dude starts laying down that Google Translate riz and he's dropping hard emojis and shit, and I'm like, damn, respect. I mean, he's taking this extremely well. And after about 30 minutes of talking to this girl, I look over at Billy and I start to see some wild ass emojis being thrown around. Like,
oh shit, Bob. Yo, I think Billy forgot he's the one taking one for the team.
So me and Bob cut him off of the tequila, and then my girl is like,
hey, do you guys want to come over to our place?
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
sure.
Hell yeah!
Is he alright?
Yeah, he's fine. So we hop in their whip and go to their crib. And at this point, it's getting kind of late. So we're just chilling, listening to music and things of that nature. When me and Bob realize Billy and his girl are nowhere to be seen. So I turn to Bob and I'm like,
yo, should we stop him?
Damn, bro, you're right. We can't let him do that shit.
And listen, bro, I've never been the type of dude to cock block, but if it's the homie who's about to interlock with the chalk chick at this o'clock, I'll walk up, knock and lock, and block that cock if I have to.
And so I did just that. I walked up, knocked, of course, unlocked the door, and respectfully, I blocked that cock.
Yo, what are you doing?
I'm taking one for the team, remember?
Nah, I think the team's doing just fine,
but
bro.
You know me. I was gotta do it for the team, like for
nah,
the-
Nah, I don't think the team needs this one, gang.
No, remember? I'm supposed to be, like, taking it for the team, like, this is for the-
Yeah, you're right.
Let's just go home, Billy.
No, wait. Well, how are we gonna get home? We're in Mexico.
Man, shut the-
So we said our goodbyes, got in the Uber, and man, I felt like a basketball coach whose son just lost to a special needs team, bro.
Hey, listen, bro. I had a lot of tequila tonight. I'm sorry. I just
Billy,
like...
Billy, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Damn, bro.
And the next morning we woke up and I'm not gonna lie, we felt it a little bit, especially Billy. Billy was in physical and mental agony. But we have a secret method to get rid of any hangover instantly. It's called vodka. So we're practically eating this bottle for breakfast, and once everyone was healed up, we hit the beach and had a fantastic day. It was stupendous, really. And once the sun started to set, we got some food and man, it was gas, bro. I had the best nachos of my life. And as I'm consuming this orgasmic meal, I get a little notification on my phone from a new girl.
Yo, you got any friends?
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, hell yup.
Then she's like,
I'm going out with some friends tonight. You guys should come.
And I'm like, hell yup. And just like that, we secured our second
three-man mission.
We absolutely house that fucking meal, go back to the crib, get ready, tee up, you know the drill. We hop in the Uber and get dropped off in the same area where the clubs and bars are to meet these girls. And when we get there, Bob and Billy are both praying they don't gotta take one for the team this time. And I'm there just chilling like, yo, this is why I set up the three mans, cause then I never have to take one for the team.
Chains, is that you?
Who's asking?
It's me, Sarah.
Oh, no way. Really?
like really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no. You must be looking for the other Chains. No, don't worry. This happens all the time.
No. Chains for real.
Yeah, look at this. This is you.
Oh, fuck. Would you look at that?
I guess it is me.
Fuck.
Like, shit, I don't know how she did it, but she got my ass, bro. I got catfished nicely. But I guess it was just my turn to take one for the team. And I look up at who she brought, and she pulled up with 4 straight dimes for the homies to choose from. Like, bro, why me? So we're walking, and the girl I'm temporarily associated with is like,
hey, let's go to the club.
Yeah, let's go.
So we go to this club, 8 people deep, and the girls are like,
yeah, let's buy a bottle.
Yeah. Where's your money?
¿Qué? No entiendo.
Wait, I could have swore you spoke English.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm fluent for sure, yeah.
You said you wanted a bottle, right?
Yes, please.
Yeah, you got bottle money?
Ah, no entiendo, no hablo inglés.
And now I'm starting to get the vibe that whole time, these girls just wanted a free bottle. And as soon as I start catching on, she starts upping her game, like,
oh my god, you're so strong, look at these muscles.
So I go to give Billy one of those side eyes, and when I look over, these motherfuckers are completely lost in the sauce.
Yeah, I'm buying a bottle. Everyone, bottles on me.
So Billy pulls me aside like,
yo, we gotta split a bottle, bruh.
Nah, I'm really not fucking with this girl.
Come on, bruh, please. I need it, bruh. Just take one for the team. Come on, take one for the team.
Alright, bruh, I'll split it with you.
Thank you, bro.
I got you.
So are you guys getting a bottle?
Yeah. We're getting a bottle.
Oh my god, you're so strong and you're a baller.
Yeah.
Baller, the fuck?
I don't know, bruh. She's weird as hell. Yo, can I get a bottle for this table?
Yeah, for sure. What do you want?
Listen, bruh. Just give me the cheapest shit you got.
Oh, I feel you, bruh. Times are tough, you know? That'll be 1,100.
God damn. That's a lot of pesos, bruh.
Pesos?
Yeah, like 1,100. That's a lot of pesos.
Nah, amigo, that's USD.
Plus $500 to walk into you with the Chicago fee of $350, and for the tip, it'll just cost you your left testicle.
No, that's my favorite nut, bruh.
Yo, Billy, we don't got it like that.
Yeah, hell no. Let's just not get it, bruh. At least these girls are already fucking with us without it, though, right?
Yeah, facts. Yo, we're not gonna get the bottle.
Oh, why not?
You can just
buy it. It's not that big a deal.
Nah. It's cause we don't got enough money.
They fucking dipped, bro.
Quick as hell, too. They all just evacuated,
bruh. No, bruh. That was my wifey.
And I'm just over here thinking, damn, I'm just glad I didn't have to see that shit through, bruh.
But Billy, yeah, he was really going through it.
Until he got distracted by some other random girls in the club. So at this point, all 3 of us are on the dance floor, absolutely fucking that shit up, when I start getting spammed on my phone. So I go to check who it is, and it's the gold digger girl, like,
hey, we all went to the club right beside it, but we can all split this bottle. It'll be $86 per person, plus tip, that'll be $95 each.
And she's literally telling me the whole price breakdown of this bottle. She pretty much just sent my ass an invoice. And I'm like, hell nah, I don't care if that shit would have been free. There is no way I'm ever gonna see this girl ever again. And then I get a tap on my shoulder, and it's 3 big buff Mexican dudes. I'm just playing. It was the gold digger girl, but this time I probably would have preferred the buff dudes. Cause this girl grabs me by the arm, pulls me outside with all her homies, and starts breaking down the price again.
Okay, the bottle is $700, but you just gotta pay $95 each, okay?
Yeah, we're in. Let's do it.
No, what? Billy, chill.
So I call an emergency meeting with the homies, and we huddle up, and I'm like, listen, you guys can go with them if you want, but there's no way I'm going and paying for this girl's bottle. Fuck that, bro. You're right. We could find something better for sure. So we jump ship. Absolutely abort mission.
Yo, what's that over there?
I'm not stupid. I'm not falling for that shit.
Nah, is that Jeff Bezos handing out free bottles to catfishes?
Wait, what? Where?
So we evacuate and start roaming the streets when I get a tap on my shoulder. I take a deep breath, turn around, and it's the girls from the OG3, man. Like,
oh my god, Chains, what are the chances?
Yo, what's up?
And me and Bob are hyped, but Billy's over here having traumatic anime flashbacks and shit.
You guys should come with us. We know the best spot here.
Oh shit,
yeah.
Bet. Fuck. So they take us to this club bar thing, and it's fucking bumping, but as soon as we get inside, Billy disappears, bro. And I don't even blame him. He's staying as far away from this girl as possible, not because he's scared of what she's gonna do, but because deep down, he's scared of what he might do. But regardless, me and Bob continue to respectfully obliterate the dance floor for about an hour straight, and then the girls are like,
hey, it's getting kinda late, so we're gonna head out now.
I bet. Wait.
wait.
Yeah.
And once me and Bob had officially decimated the dance floor beyond repair, we realized there's an upstairs that leads to a balcony. So of course me and Bob go to explore that shit. And as we walk out onto the balcony, we see Billy with this one girl who looks our age, who happens to have a friend who also looks our age. And once again, Billy is absolutely laying down that Google Translate riz, but this time he's really cooking. So me and Bob start talking to her friend named Mia. I get her Instagram, and then Billy's like, "All right, let's go. The Uber's here."
Uber? Uber to where?
Oh, my bad. I forgot to tell you, but Camilla and me are coming back to the B&B.
What the fuck?
Don't you think we gotta discuss shit like that?
Nah.
Bro, what?
All right, Uber's here, let's go.
So Billy and the girls go to the Uber, but me and Bob stay back to discuss what the actual fuck is going on right now.
Yo, this is a bad idea, right?
But we can't let them do this shit alone. Shit, Bob. Do we even have a choice? So we leave the bar and start walking to the Uber when this girl stops me and she's like, "Hi, what's your name?"
"Oh, I'm Chains. What's your name?"
"Oh, my name's Sophia." And Sophia's trying to make some small talk and shit like that, but Billy's already waiting in the Uber, so I'm like,
"Well, it was nice to meet you, but I gotta go."
"Oh, well, let me get your Instagram real quick." So I give her my phone, she follows herself, and then gives me my phone back. And when I lay my eyes on the screen, I realize we have a mutual. And I'm just surprised, cause we're in Mexico, bruh. So I go to check who it is, and it's Mia. And at this moment, everything started piecing itself together to make our third
three-man mission.
So I'm like,
"Yo, you know Mia?"
"Oh, Mia? That's like my best friend. Why?"
"Word? You mean this Mia?"
"Oh no my god, way. Mia." So Sophia hops in the whip and we're all just talking, and then Mia says, "Yeah, so like, we don't have work tomorrow."
"Oh shit, do you guys work together?"
"Yeah, we do."
"Damn, what do you guys do?"
"Oh, you know, we dance."
Where do you guys dance?"
Like in the club?"
"Oh shit. Yeah, that's what's up. Yo, how old are you guys, by the way?"
21.
24.
25.
Damn! Sorry. Do you guys happen to have any, you guys happen to have kids by chance?"
"Of course, I
have
two.
I have a baby boy.
One of them
is
a
3-year-old
boy.
I also have
two
daughters."
"Oh, fuck.
Yo, Bob, you think it's too late to, abort mission?" And I don't know how, but none of that information seemed to faze Billy in the slightest. Cause now he's out here making out with this girl like, "Fuck them kids, bro." And the whole car ride, I'm just thinking,
what the fuck is going on, bro?
But soon enough, we arrive. We all hop out of the whip, go to our B&B, put in the code for the lockbox, get the key, unlock the door, and go inside. Now for context, the crib had two couches and a master bedroom. And that bedroom is where I used to sleep, and I say used to because as soon as we got to the B&B, Billy and Camila went straight to my room and start playing patty cake. Loud as hell too, and so all of us are just sitting on the couch like, hola, ¿cómo estás? Fuck. And this motherfucker Billy was just making up for every single time he had to take one for the team. And after the longest 20 minutes of my life, Billy walks out of the room smiling from ear to ear like,
"What? Well, why's everyone looking at me?" Shit, you guys could hear that?
Then Billy cops the girls an Uber, they dip, and I'm looking at Billy like,
"Bro, what the actual fuck just happened?"
"Hey man, listen, it's just the way the cookie crumbled." "Nah, bro, you are crazy." And at this point, it was probably 4 a.m. or something, so I go to my room to look at where I'm supposed to sleep, and there's a bunch of lubed up rappers on my bed, and I'm not talking Diddy. So needless to say, after a long night, I slept on the couch, and we all woke up rotten, bro. So rotten, even the vodka method wouldn't work. So we decided if anything could make us feel better, it would be a plate of the world's best nachos. So we get ready, leave the crib, and then Billy's like,
"Yo, who's got the key?"
"Shit, I don't got it."
"Bob, you got it?"
I mean, it's probably on the counter where we always put it, right?"
"Yeah, facts."
We check the counter, it's not there. We check the tables, not there. We check the couches, bedroom, kitchen, nowhere to be seen. So we scavenge the entirety of the Airbnb. We even look through every single bag of garbage and it was nowhere.
"Bro,
Did those girls finesse our key?
Nah. Camilla wouldn't do some shit like that.
She would,
bro.
Yeah, you don't even know
bro,
her.
No,
this
she
is
wouldn't.
Your
How
fault.
Would you
know brought her
you
to
don't
the
know
crib.
Her, bro.
She
I know her better
club.
Than you know
I
her.
Chill. Mia texted me. She said, let's go to the pool today. Oh, shit. Camilla texted me the same thing.
Damn.
And in my head, I'm thinking about it, and I'm putting everything together.
Shit.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
I think so.
These girls stole the key and invited us to the pool so the crib would be empty so they could get three big buff Mexican dudes to pull up and loot the crib.
Fuck, I knew
Damn,
it.
Damn, she got my ass, bruh.
So hell no, we didn't go to the pool with them, and for the next few days, we were on high alert. We would only leave the crib in pairs, and one dude would stay back, strapped up with kitchen knives, ready to take on three big buff Mexican dudes. Pause. Until it was Monday, the night before our flight home. So we're packing everything, getting ready to go home, and I hear Billy shout, Chains?
Yo, what's up?
Yo, guess what I got, bruh?
Chlamydia?
No.
Gonorrhea?
What? No.
Herpes?
No, it's in my suitcase.
Your suitcase got herpes?
No, it's the key. How the fuck?
I don't know.
If you saw this video, you would know my very first time drinking, I got both high and drunk at the same time. But my first time being drunk takes place back when I was like 14 or 15. And this story takes place at my grandma's crib. No, listen, I know that sounds bad, but like, I mean, it's pretty bad. So the story starts with me and my brother pulling up to the family function. And right off the bat, we notice the chill cousins are nowhere to be seen. So instantly, we can tell it's gonna be a long night of engaging in conversations about school, sports, my lack of ability to pull bitches. And about 5 minutes after arriving, you know, I'm just doing some good old small talk.
Oh, hey bud, how's school going?
Oh, you know, it's going.
And, how's sports going?
Yeah, the sports are good.
Nice.
So, the weather lately, huh? And then after about 20 minutes, me and my brother are just getting our shit flamed by every member of the family.
No wonder you can't get a girlfriend. You're ugly as shit.
Damn, that was just mean.
And don't get me started on you. You had a 3-year head start and still can't get any bitches.
And honestly, we just can't say anything back because last time I tried.
Man, still no girlfriend. That's brutal.
Not as brutal as your third divorce, am I right? Guys, so instead of flaming the living shit out of this grown man in front of his mom, I decide to be the bigger man. I just laughed that shit off. And then got the fuck out of there before they brought up my school grades. So as my brother and I sit down in a different room, I'm just in agony thinking about how everything this dude flamed me for was actually true. But my brother, on the other hand, he was whipping up some devious plan. Yo, Chains, follow me.
Oh, okay.
So we walk down to the basement. So, what are we doing in the basement? He opens a cupboard full of alcohol. Bro just cracks the seal on some vodka and starts downing that shit. Now, usually, I would know this is a bad idea. But to be honest, I just got done getting my entire existence shit on by my own family. So I'm really just trying to drink my pain away at this point. I mean, we were passing that bottle drinking like rent was due and the wife was taking the kids. So with that being said, we got a little hammered. And keep in mind, this was my first time being drunk. So as soon as I stood up, I ate shit. It was like I had to relearn the controls of life. But we had to get out of the basement or else we'd look suspicious. So our drunk asses plug walked our way up the stairs. But we were trying to act as casual as possible. So we sit back down with the rest of the family like we didn't just down a bottle of vodka. And me and my bro were just sitting there looking at each other trying not to laugh. But the next thing I knew, this dude Uncle Jerry was back on my ass.
Hey look, Dumb and Dumber are back.
And at this point, I'm using every bone in my body not to end this man's whole career.
Man, whose gene is it that made you so damn hideous?
Don't do it, bro. Don't do it, bro. And I really didn't want to do him like that, but the vodka took control. It was your hideous gene, Gerald. But at least I didn't get the same gene that has you 5'2 and balding. Like, I can't tell if you're going through puberty or a midlife crisis. And shit, I didn't stop there. And Joe, I want to hear you talking. You're built like Baymax from Big Hero 6.
What the fuck is Big Hero 6?
Mom, I love you. Karen, sit down. Your mac and cheese tastes like ass. And Bob, you're literally a registered sex offender. Grandma, I love you. Bernard, your hairline looks like it's social distancing from your eyebrows. And Irene, how are you 47 and still work at McDonald's? And you got no drip. Come on, bro. Friendly fire. Oh, shit. You're right. My bad. Needless to say, I was handing out smoke to everybody. Something in that vodka turned me to a demon. And I guess since everyone was mad at me for dissing the entire family, they never knew I was drunk as hell. But in the end, I did feel really bad for roasting my entire family tree. But ever since that day, everybody stopped flaming me. So, it was worth it. Getting zooted is a remarkable experience. However, the moment you step into a public setting, everything changes. I mean, being baked in public is the equivalent of trying to run track with clown shoes on. It's the equivalent of being an astronaut in the ocean. It's like bringing a sword to a gunfight. And trust me, I've been caught lacking, baked beyond belief on several occasions. That is, until I learned the art of pretending you're not zooted. So, the first order of business is covering up that dank smell. Cause shit, you and I both know if you get caught reeking of that sweet, sweet smell of Mary Jane, your cover's blown. So take some Axe, some cologne, some goddamn Febreze, and just douse yourself. And just when you think you put too much, spray some more, bro. And although all this Axe is gonna have you smelling like a frat boy, crucial that we avoid the following scenario at all costs. You get some of this. Nice. Yo, do you think you can still smell it? Nah, dude. I can't smell it at all. What about me? Shit, it's like we didn't even smoke. But truth be told, both of these motherfuckers smell like weed, bro. The next order of business is those goddamn bloodshot eyes. I'm not gonna lie. Those eyes of yours are a dead giveaway, bro. I mean, you look fucking obliterated. Like, go look in the mirror. Yeah, we're gonna need some eye drops real quick. Just a few drops here, you know what I'm saying? Few drops here. Yep. Yeah, that's a lot better. But you know what? For a little safety measure, throw these hoes on. Damn. Now you're looking sober and fresh as fuck. But how are you feeling? Your mouth's a little dry, huh? Well, I got just the thing for you. You see this? Yeah, shit's called water. It's gonna help you with that cotton mouth, and it'll keep you hydrated. Yeah, that's some good old H2O. Nice. Yeah, no, go take a look in the mirror. Yeah, you're looking good. But before you go outside, we gotta go over some of the basic principles of pretending you're not faded. Number one is no rambling. Talking too much can be a slippery slope, which will ultimately compromise the mission. Yo, Chains, what time is it?
It's, 107.
107?
Wait.
Bro, 107 isn't
the
time.
How did the first person make the clock even know what time it was?
What is this dude talking about?
Did they just randomly decide and, you know, just start running with it?
Hold up. Chains is baked as hell.
No.
And principle number two, don't talk too little. Although talking too much can sell the mission, so can talking too little.
Hi there, what can I get for you? Sir, what do you want? Hello, welcome to McDonald's. What the fuck do you want, bitch? Yeah, we got a customer who's on fucking Mars.
And last, but of course not least, is the golden rule for pretending you're not zooted. Just say you're tired, bro. It's undefeated. It works like a fucking charm. It hasn't failed you yet.
Failed him yet.
Chains, have you been smoking the devil's lettuce?
Nah, I'm just tired.
Oh, okay.
Hey, were you just smoking in the bathroom?
Nah, I'm just really tired.
Oh, okay, my fault.
So you're telling me you've been found driving with a joint in your mouth, 3 ounces of weed, and you failed the drug test?
Objection, Your Honor. My client here, he was tired.
Innocent, he's proven innocent, he's good.
So with all this being said, I think you're ready to go out. Well, where are you going anyways? What, you're going to your grandma's 89th birthday? Ah, shit. Good luck with that, man.
Oh, grandson, it's so nice to see you.
Man, family functions have the weirdest dynamic, bro. Like, how have you known these people your entire life, but have still never gone past the surface level conversation? I mean, let me know if it's just my family, but every function is the same. The whole gang links up, and everyone just asks the most generic small talk questions to each other. Hey, how's that new place you bought? Oh, yeah, you know, it's good. And how's the kids doing? Oh, you know, they're good. Oh, and how's the wife? Man, fuck your wife. I don't want to hear any of these NPC conversations, bro. And let me know if I'm getting too specific here, but what about that one uncle who goes by the name of either Bob, Jerry, or Dave? And this dude will just always be saying the most out-of-pocket things imaginable. Oh, how's your daughter Jane doing? Oh, Jane's always been hot, eh?
Bob, she's 15!
This uncle be at the family function thinking it's Coachella or something.
Bob, another beer's a little bit excessive, don't you think?
Yeah, football!
I'm the youngest person in my whole family, which for whatever unspoken reason, it just means everyone has the go-ahead to flame the living shit out of me. Hey, Chain, still no girlfriend, huh? I guess you're not too good with the ladies there. But I make one joke back and I'm the bad guy. You don't seem too good with the ladies yourself, seeing as your wife just divorced you and she took the kids with her. Am I right? Not only do they feel free to roast your whole existence simply because you were born last, they unanimously decide you will be everyone's personal butler. Hey bud, go get another beer for me. Alright, yeah, for sure. Thanks. Now you better get started on mowing that lawn. Grass isn't gonna cut itself, am I right?
Oh my god, bro.
And coming into these family functions, you would think your mom is your closest ally. But as soon as she gets the chance, she will expose your biggest secret for a little bit of parent clout. You guys will never guess what I found under Chain's bed yesterday.
Oh my god, what is it?
Yeah, tell us.
What? No way.
Sometimes when my family tries to make small talk with me, they just miss the boat completely. So, buddy, how's those swimming lessons going for you? The swimming lessons I took when I was 5? Yeah, right, those ones. They're good. I finished them a little while ago. Oh, is that right? Good for you, buddy. And bro, don't get me started on those recycled ass jokes. Well, looks like you got your workout for the day.
Oh, looks like you've gotten so tall. What are you feeding this kid, am I right? Oh, Bob, I think you got some food in your beard.
Oh, don't worry, I'm saving it for later.
Ah, good one, Bill.
Oh, Bob, he's so funny. Thank you. I guess everyone at the function must have Alzheimer's or something. Because these jokes will have them cracking up like they haven't heard the same joke the past 15 functions. But cousins, man. Cousins are the saving grace of family functions. Without cousins, you would have no choice but to participate in the tomfoolery of small talk. I'd be walking in the function just praying to see that one cousin. And bro, I have a family function survival tip for you. You always have to stay within arm's reach of either your siblings or your cousins. Cause whenever some bullshit goes down, you just give each other the look and flee the scene. And because when you get caught lacking on your own at the function, you get jumped.
Metaphorically speaking, of course.
Being absolutely faded in math class is one thing, but pulling up to school while you're hammered, wasted, absolutely plastered is simply a different ball game. Cause there's lots of people who can properly utilize that Mary Jane on a daily basis. For example, tattoo artists. In fact, I feel like majority of tattoo artists would say, it helps me work better, dude. And I would happily trust this man to do his best work knowing he's baked as shit. However, if this dude was wasted, it's a little bit of a different story.
Alrighty, dude. All done. Yo, I asked for a rose, bro. And because of this reason, you would truly have to be a dumbass to go to school drunk. Chains, but the title of the video says going to school drunk. I did, bro. I went to school drunk. But listen, it was no ordinary day at school. No. In fact, I didn't even go in the day at all. I went drunk to the school dance. Meaning this story takes place when the boys and I were in grade 11. It was a Thursday night, the night of winter ball. And as the boys and I were getting ready, you know, looking like some distinguished young gentlemen, I had realized, none of us have any girls to take to the dance. Fuck, you're right. That means we're gonna have to ask a girl to dance, bro. What? You mean like talk to them? Yeah, if only we knew someone with a bigger roster than a cheerleading team. Someone with more hoes than a shed. Someone who pulls more tens than EDP.
It's Bob!
So me and Billy started analyzing Bob. Like how does he pull so many girls, bro? Is it the jawline? I don't know. What about the silky, smooth, clear skin? Maybe. Or is it those succulent, luscious, kissable lips?
It's the glasses!
Yeah, the glasses, yeah. So we stole Bob's entire flow in the hopes this would put an end to my drought of bitches. So we check ourselves out in the mirror, and then we hop into Billy's whip. We throw on some Rihanna to get us hyped, and before we knew it, we had arrived at school. Now, to really paint the picture, it was a Thursday at 8 p.m. And on this Thursday at 8 p.m., Billy pops his trunk to pull out two bottles of vodka. Now, if you were unaware, it was currently a Thursday at 8 p.m. on a school night, and we were headed into our school. Now, logically, I should have simply denied the alcohol, but I'ma keep it a buck. The whole idea of walking up to a girl and asking her to dance was really giving me the heebie-jeebies. I mean, my palms were sweaty, my knees were weak, and arms were heavy, so I took a big old chug of that liquid courage in order to ease the nerves a little bit. And shit, Billy must have been feeling the same way, because Billy was down in that shit like it was water. And right after we consumed enough alcohol to kill a baby elephant, I got a notification on my phone. Oh shit, I got an email. Oh, it's from the school. It says, if you come to the winter ball under the influence of alcohol or any drug, you will face suspension and will lose your right to walk across the stage for graduation.
Fuck.
Okay, listen, if we can get into the dance before this shit hits, we're chilling. All right, we got this. So we walk into the school looking fresh as hell, but then I notice a fat line of students, and this line led to a security check to get into the dance.
Fuck, that's not good.
Nah, we're chilling. I still don't even feel anything. What about you?
Yeah, same. We're good.
And just as we came to the consensus that we were good, the principal starts walking down the line in our direction.
Fuck, act cool. We're good. Act cool.
That was close.
You three, over here.
Shit, fuck, shit.
Do you guys know why I called you over here?
Nah.
Nope.
I smelled alcohol the moment I walked past you three. Now, I don't know if it was one of you or all of you, but you know the consequences of showing up under the influence, right?
Yeah, yep. We do.
And tell me, is it or is it not suspicious that all three of you guys showed up with glasses on?
Nah, we just thought it looked suspicious. Really?
Mm-mm.
Take them off.
Damn.
All right.
Yes, sir.
And although I downed a sizable amount of vodka, it still hadn't kicked in yet.
No, I didn't want to do this to you guys, but look at my finger.
This motherfucker starts waving around his magic finger in Billy's face with a flashlight to somehow see if he's drunk. Now, I don't know what the plan was, but I was fucking scared.
Okay. He's not bad. Oh, okay. He's good. Now let's see here.
And just as this motherfucker puts his finger in my face, that vodka hits, bro. I'm using all the strength I got to keep my balance while I'm getting blinded by this flashlight.
Let me try that again. Huh.
I got a little feeling you guys drank, but it hasn't fully kicked in yet. I'll check up on you in a little
bit.
Yeah,
that's good. Yeah. So we get to security and they make sure to pat us down. A little bit too good, but before we knew it, we were at the dance. And just like that, I saw my opportunity and I put that liquid courage to use. And you know, I'm very articulate when it comes to words, so I ask, "Hi, how are you?" "Oh, hey, I'm good. So I wanted to ask you, like, you know, we're at the dance and, I saw you, so I walked over here. Here we are, you know what I mean? So like, do you want to dance?" "Yeah, sure." It had worked. My plan had finally worked. And just as I was about to feel the female touch I'd been deprived of for all these years, I see Mr. Principal walking in my direction with his finger ready and his flashlight in hand. So I just haul ass, and I don't stop hauling ass until I'm off school grounds. So the moral of the story is, don't go to school drunk, bro.
Man, growing up, I was a great kid. I was a good kid. Man, growing up, I was a kid, bro. And as a kid, you hit a certain age where your own parents become your number one op. Like, "Hey, mom, can I go to this girl's house?"
"No."
"Hey, mom, can I sleep over at Billy's crib?"
"No."
"Hey, mom, can I go do crack under the bridge with my new friend Jorge?"
"Hey."
"Hell no." "Come on, all my friends are allowed to."
"Yeah."
"Okay, well, if all your friends jumped off a cliff, you're not just gonna..." Now, to be fair, my mom wasn't the strictest parent out there. I mean, I've seen motherfuckers get the belt for speaking too loud, speaking too quiet, bro, for speaking at all. Like, one time, me and my friend wanted to have a sleepover, so homie went inside to go ask his mom, and he came out looking like he got a whooping from Prime Goku, bro.
"Yo, what the fuck happened back there, man?"
She said no to me, but... I think if you asked her, she would say yes.
"Bro, are you fucking insane? I'm not asking her shit."
Like, I really can't complain, because some of my friends' parents were so strict, they had a fun limit, bro.
"Yo, George, we're gonna hoop after school. You wanna pull up?"
"Damn, dude, I'd love to, but, man, I watched a movie yesterday."
"Ah, okay. So do you wanna play basketball?"
"Dude, I want to, but my fun meter's maxed out, man. My mom won't let me leave the house till Monday."
"Holy shit, fun meter maxed out for a week off a movie? Yo, what's this movie, bro?"
"Yeah, what?" "Yeah, no, it was good, man. It's called the VeggieTale movie."
"Yo, George,
I feel bad for you, bro. Because don't get me wrong, I've seen a lot of kids with super strict parents turn out to be straight A students, go to good colleges, stay with a good crowd of people. But with that being said, a lot of these kids whose parents were too strict to let them watch fucking SpongeBob, they end up going to college and catching Krusty Krabs after letting a dude named Patrick explore their bikini bottom, bro. Nah, but for real, my mom was far from one of those parents. I mean, she was reasonable, but the thing was, all my friends were a year older than me. Now, mentally, we were all dumb as shit. But when you hit that 12, 13, 14-year-old age, that 1 year is the biggest difference, bro. Like, us doing shit together just didn't look right.
"Yo, Bob, can you pass the zot?" "Yo, Billy, let me hit that."
"Yo, pass me that shit, cuz."
And cuz of this, I wasn't allowed to do a lot of the shit that my friends were allowed to do. Like, these boys could stay up past 10:30 p.m. on a weekend. I could not. They could have a sleepover on a weeknight. I could not. They could all go to a girl's house without having to call her goddamn parents. I could not, bro. Because have you ever pulled up to a function? Motherfuckers are drinking. Motherfuckers are doing drugs. And you gotta ask the host to speak to her parents?
Hey, Kelly. Hey, killer party you got here. Like, by any chance, can my mom talk to your mom so I can stay and, like, turn up and shit?"
Oh, shit.
And when you're 12 and all your friends can do shit that you can't do, you're left with just two options. You can either be a good kid, follow the rules, do your homework, eat your broccoli, or you could be a bad kid, break the rules, fuck your homework, and smoke that broccoli. And boy, did I make the wrong decision. I remember the first time my mom caught me lying was back when I was in grade 7. It was just an average Saturday posted up at Billy's crib.
"Yo, y'all boys know Rosa?"
"Yeah, I know Rosa. What's up?"
"Bro, she's throwing a birthday party at her crib tonight."
"Aw, shit, man. We about to get freaky deaky on
these hoes.
Boy,
I'm about to get so drunk I forget how to speak."
"Yo, on God, bro. Dead ass. That's facts. For real. Hey, Mom, I'm just calling to remind you how much I love you."
"Oh, I love you too, Chains. What do you want?"
"So, me and my closest friends got invited to a small little get-together at my friend Rose's house.
Can I go, please? Let me talk to her parents. Okay, now I was actually friends with Rosa, but she was 2 years older than me. So I swallow my pride and text Rosa some along the lines of, "Hey Rosa, my mom wants to talk to your mom before I can come." And she's like, "Aw, baby boy needs permission. Fuck." And then she sends me her mom's number. So I connect my mom with Rosa's mom. My mom gives me the green light, but says, "You have to be home at 10:30 p.m. sharp." Say no more, mom. So me and my homie start getting fresh. We're all up in Billy's dad's expensive cologne collection. I take the coolest looking bottle, little spray here, little spray there. Had me smelling like Tom Ford, still looking like Thomas the Tank Engine, but after looking as fresh as possible, we head to Rosa's crib. So we hop on the bus, hop off the bus, walk up to her house, knock, and the birthday girl opens the door.
Happy birthday!
Hey, Billy, Bob, and Chains, I was waiting for you guys.
Happy birthday, Rosa.
Oh, damn, Chains, you smell good.
Appreciate it, that's that Thomas Fordinson, you know what I mean?
So Bob, Billy, and I go inside and we realize the gravity of this situation.
Oh, shit.
God damn.
Rosa invited like 10 of her girlfriends and like 2 of her cousins, bro. We were completely outnumbered in the greatest way possible, bruh. As I'm just doing some quick math on the ratio, there's a knock on the door. Rosa opens it, and it's Dennis holding a bottle of vodka. Now, we're friends with Dennis, Rosa's friends with Dennis, but to put it simply, Dennis was a bad kid, bro. This motherfucker was living life with no precaution, no regrets, no morals, but to be fair, he was fun as fuck, bro, because when Dennis pulled up, the party got lit, bro. We were taking shots, dancing, playing beer pong, taking more shots. We were having a marvelous time, and I was drunk, okay? Not too drunk, but not just tipsy. I had hit the perfect sweet spot of drunk. I got all the stat boosts of being funnier, more confident, more smiley, but I still had full control of my body. So I start applying that pressure, bruh.
Hey, don't y'all both have ugly boyfriends?
No, what the fuck?
No.
Shit. Y'all want one?
What?
Damn, you smell good though.
Appreciate it. I showered this week.
I don't remember what I actually said, but all I know is that in grade 7, cologne was overpowered, bro, because nobody was smelling good. And if they tried, it would just smell like Axe, dog. So I'm over here combining the powers of Tom Ford with the confidence of Smirnoff. Had me feeling like I'm him, bro.
So how y'all feeling?
I'm
honestly
feeling
amazing.
How you feel?
Shit, I'm feeling good. Just a little, you know, just a little bit tired.
I vividly remember sitting on that couch with these two girls, never wanting this moment to end, bruh. But when I look up, I see one girl crying, one girl looking for something, Dennis helping her look, and Billy and Bob are all ready to dip. So I hop off the couch for a second, like, yo, what's going on?
Yo, so Dennis just finessed like 3 of these girls' vapes, and we're not trying to get blamed, so we're about to dip.
Bruh, for real?
Yeah, you coming?
Bro, but like, bro, I'm not ready to leave yet.
Yeah, nah, it's cool. Don't worry about it. Just text us when you leave, bro.
Ah, shit. All right, peace, bro.
Peace out, dog.
So Bob and Billy dip. I see Dennis's ass sneak out through the back door. And at this point, I have no clue how long I've been here, bro. But the party had died down to essentially just the girls who are gonna sleep over and me, bro. So I go to check what time it is on my phone. And it's 10:15, bro. My curfew's 10:30 and I'm a 30-minute bus ride from home. But if we're keeping it a buck right now, I don't even want to go home, bro. I made it to the girl's sleepover and I didn't even have to ride the group dildo or nothing. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So I text my mom and I lied, bruh. Bob, Billy, and I are almost at Billy's house. Can I sleep over at his house, please?
Then I threw my phone away, hopped back on the couch, and went right back to my happy place.
So I'm posted up with these two laughing, cracking jokes when Rosa walks up like, yo, Chains, where'd your friends go?
They abandoned me, Rosa. They left me here stranded with no way home.
Shit, I mean, you could just stay here if you want.
Say less! So...
appreciate it. And eventually, all the girls gave up on trying to find their vapes. They all gathered around to play truth or dare, and I prayed for times like this, bro. I was deep in enemy lines, and I didn't want it any other way until one of the girls sees my phone on the ground and is like, hey, Chains, I think someone's calling you. So she tosses me my phone. I check it, and I got 20 missed calls from fucking everyone in my contacts, bro. So I'm trying to be strategic with it to find out what's going on. I call Billy first.
Yo, what's happening?
Bro, so your mom called my mom and asked if you were here yet at my house. And my mom told your mom that you're not even here, bro.
Aw, shit. What do I do?
Bro, I don't know. And everyone knows when you get caught in a lie, you should just fess up, tell the truth, and apologize. But I doubled down, bro. So I called my mom and I'm like, hey, mom, we're almost at Billy's house. We just missed our second bus.
Where are you?
I'm at Stickman Middle School bus stop. You know, like, we're super close. We're just waiting for the bus to come.
I'm picking you up right now.
Fuck me,
bruh.
Now, not only is she expecting all three of us to be together at this bus stop, shit, not a single one of us is there, bro. To put this in perspective, my house is right here, Billy's crib is right here, and Rosa's crib is all the way over here, bro. And Stickman Middle's somewhere near the middle. And so I pull up the bus app on my phone and see the next bus is coming in 2 minutes. And with all that adrenaline pumping through my veins, I jump up out the couch, steal a piece of gum, and haul absolute ass to the bus stop, bruh. I get there right on time, hop on the bus, and I call Billy. Yo, dog, I think I'm cooked. I told her I'm at Stickman Middle with you guys.
Dude, why the fuck would you do that?
Shit, I don't know. I'm busing there right now.
Bro, if she sees you there without us, you're cooked beyond belief.
I know, bruh.
Yo, we're on our way.
So Bob and Billy hop on scooters and start hill bombing their way down to the bus stop to save my ass. And this shit was a race to get to the bus stop before my mom does, because if she catches me there alone, I'm cooked. If she catches Bob and Billy there before me, I'm cooked. If she gets there before anyone, I'm fucking done, bro. I'm on the bus just praying, and when I finally get to the bus stop at Stickman Middle, I get out and take a deep breath because my mom's not here. But I'm shitting my pants because neither is Bob or Billy. And so I'm calling them, no answer. And I look down the road, I see some headlights. And this was not a busy street, bruh. And as the car is getting closer and closer, I can feel the anger radiating from the whip. I can almost hear the belt making contact with my cheeks. And the car pulls up, and it's just some random dude driving by.
Yo!
These motherfuckers, Bob and Billy, come flying down the hill. They get to the bus stop, throw their scooters in the bush, and pretend like we've been waiting here for an hour. Oh, gee Wilkers, man. I can't believe we missed this bus, dude.
Billy, pray for me, right?
Get in the car.
I get in my mom's car. I'm stone fucking sober. My heart is pounding. Why did you lie to me?
Well, I honestly wanted to spend more time at my friend's house because we were just having fun. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed, Chains.
That shit hurt way more than any punishment ever would have, bro. So even though Bob and Billy clutched up for me, I still got grounded, bro. But I did learn a valuable lesson. Just tell the truth, bro. It makes everything easier.
There's a lot of things in life that I don't really understand, but if there's one thing I can truly comprehend, it's being grounded. Because in my time, I've served a total of 547 days and 16 hours in the slammer. And through a year and a half of extensive first-hand research, I've come to the professional conclusion that getting grounded is straight ass, bro. You're locked in your room with no phone, no computer, like what do you want me to do? Think about my actions? Hell nah. Being grounded had a young me doing the stupidest shit ever, bro. Like, I was popping handstands, hitting my head against the wall, playing with the door stopper thingy. Shit, I got so bored, I even read a few pages of a book like an absolute nerd. And now that I think about it, Percy Jackson and the Battle of the Labyrinth was actually a spectacular read. Now listen, there's only one thing worse than being grounded, and that's being falsely imprisoned for life. Well, now that I think about it, there's a lot of things worse than being grounded, but one of which is being grounded during summer, bro. There's something about being able to hear all the happy children, the ice cream trucks, your homies having fun, the hoes throwing rocks at your window, asking you to come outside. Well, you just cry yourself to sleep, because there never was any hoes throwing rocks at your window asking you to come outside. It's just you, your Percy Jackson books, some used toilet paper, and the existential thoughts in your head, questioning if it's even worth it. And listen, I'm sure everyone can pick up on the fact that I'm a really intelligent dude. Smart all around, really, but trust me when I say, I wasn't always this smart, bro. In fact, in kindergarten, my dumbass fully believed with my whole heart that being grounded meant your parents would just dig a decent sized hole in your backyard, toss you in, and bury you alive for the time being. And so I'm sure you could imagine my surprise when my OG friend of 5 days said, yeah, I got grounded for 2 whole weeks. Holy fucking shitballs, dude, are you okay? No, man, it's really hard. I didn't get to touch any of my toys or anything. Damn, how long ago was that, man? Oh, I'm still grounded. What? No, you're not. Yeah, dude, I'm grounded right now. No, the fuck you're not. And I wouldn't truly find out what being grounded was until 7 years later. I was in grade 7. It was a beautiful sunny summer day at approximately 11 a.m. and me and the boys were freely roaming our city. Little did I know, we wouldn't be free for long. And as the boys and I roamed the city looking for a move, one of Bob's girls calls him up and is like, okay, so my friend Becky is in Hawaii for a few days with her family, and she said I could bring you over. And just like that, Bob could have wrapped it up and claimed some cheeks. But the boy Bob was never one to leave the homies behind. So not only did he convince his girl to let us come, but he went above and beyond. He got his girl to bring some of her friends over too. And now we're hyped because we had now located the move, and quite a marvelous move if I do say so myself. Now keep in mind, all of us knew Becky and had been to Becky's house many times before, but Becky was all the way in Hawaii, so she had no clue about the marvelous move about to take place at her own crib. But regardless, me and the homies walk into Becky's crib and they low-key got a little get-together in the works. I see Bob's girl, I see Bob's girl's friends, and then I see a mutual friend of mine named Dennis. And he brought his girl. Now, a little backstory about Dennis. Dennis was 2 years older than me, making him in high school. And to be fair, from grade 7 to high school is a colossal difference. Dennis was taller, had a more developed frame, and Dennis even had some facial hair in progress. The amount of facial hair that put my peach fuzz to shame. And to put it quite simply, Dennis was a menace. But regardless, that's my homie's homie, so I walk up and dap him up. And then everyone heads over to Becky's room. Now keep in mind, Becky had simply invited Bob and Bob's girl to come over, and somehow we ended up being 8 people deep in that joint. And so that means technically, the other 6 of us were straight trespassing. So we were all chilling in Becky's room, chopping it up for a good hour and a half, until eventually, people start exploring her house. Now in Becky's room, it was just me, Bob, Bob's girl, and Bob's girl's friend named Lily. And so we're all just talking until I hear someone yell from the room down the hall.
Yo, Chains, get in here right now!
And I don't know exactly what I was expecting to see as I walked into that bathroom, but it was absolutely not seeing Dennis drop a condom filled with water on Billy's head. And of course I laughed because that's comedy gold right there, but it also made me realize, maybe we shouldn't be here dropping condoms on each other's heads. But who was I to tell Dennis what to do? He had facial hair, so he was practically a grown man to my standards. So I just turned around, went back to the room, and continued chilling with Bob. And as we talked, the music progressively got louder, and Dennis progressively became more of a menace. And it had got to the point where the speakers were booming, and Dennis was lobbing condom water balloons off Becky's balcony. And then one time, Dennis either almost hit or just missed Becky's neighbor with one of these condom water balloons. So this grown man looks down at a condom that seems to have fell from the heavens. Then he looks up and sees Dennis scrambling inside to Becky's crib with the speakers blasting music. And then he continued on his way. And we were all just having a fantastic time in Becky's room until we hear the downstairs door swing open. And we all absolutely shit our pants and run onto the balcony.
Hey! I just texted the family who lives here and they said no one is supposed to be in the house. Everyone needs to leave right now or I'm calling the cops.
And that's exactly what we did. No messing around, we were out that hoe. And we all went to Bob's girl's house for an emergency meeting because we were all scared as fuck. And now Bob's girl and Becky are texting and Becky's like, my parents are pissed, they want to talk to everyone's parents and they know how many people were there. So we all devise a foolproof plan. Okay, we give Becky our phone numbers, tell it's our parents' phone numbers, and we act super disappointed in our children. We all agreed on this plan, and the emergency meeting was dismissed. And over the next few days, we all got texts from a very unhappy Becky's father, who made sure to specify the amount of condoms that were found in the bathtub. We all respond with some bullshit along the lines of,
hello, Mr. Beckerson. I'm very sorry to hear about the inconsiderate acts of Chains and how he's invaded your home. Rest assured, Chains will feel the wrath of this thick leather belt as it repeatedly beats against his cheeks to discipline him for his heinous actions. Thank you for bringing this to my attention.
But come to find out, Lily's dumbass responded with some shit like, Dear Mr. Beckerson, thank you for letting me know, but Lily did nothing wrong as she didn't know she wasn't allowed there. Plus, she didn't even make a mess or anything, on God. Put some respect on my daughter's name. period. And just like that, our foolproof plan got fucked. And Becky's father texted each of us saying,
"You are coming to the house at 3:15 p.m. today, or I'm calling the cops."
And shit, looking back, Becky's father was most definitely bluffing. Like, say I didn't go, what was he gonna tell the cops?
911, what's your emergency?
"Hey, there was 8 kids who invaded my home 3 days ago."
"Okay, sir, did they break in?"
"No, no, my daughter gave them the key."
"Sir, why the fuck are you calling 911?
There was condoms in the bathtub."
But like I said, I wasn't very smart and I didn't have the brain capacity to think that far ahead. So everyone shows up to the house and Becky's father sits us down and makes each of us individually call our parents and explain what we had done. And I went first.
"Hey mom, so I went to Becky's house the other day, but she was in Hawaii and I wasn't really invited.
There was condoms in the bathtub."
Needless to say, we all got our shit whooped and I received my very first grounding with a sentence of 1 month in the slammer. My very first time getting a taste of that enchanted broccoli. It was a very special time in my life. In fact, it shaped me to become the stick man you see today. Now, if you've seen this video, you would know my very first time being baked was also my first time being drunk. Cause you see, what happened was I had ate some magic brownies and they didn't kick in for a while. So I came to the solid conclusion that, bro, these edibles ain't shit. So I chug some vodka and next thing I know, I'm fucking obliterated. And through me mixing these two substances for the very first time of trying each, I was unable to truly take in the full experience of being zooted. Cause I was fucking slumped. So fast forward about a month after the edible incident, me and Bob were trying to see what being baked really felt like. Keep in mind, we were in grade 7 at this point, and at Stickman Middle School, you got +3 clout points if you ever smoked some grass. So naturally, we were fiending for some Mary Jane, and we had just the person to call. "Yo, Billy. Hey, what's up? Me and Bob were trying to smoke some marijuana."
Shut up. The feds might have tapped my phone, bro. Chill.
"Oh, shit. My bad. I meant we're trying to blow some pipes."
"Hey, yo, pause. What the fuck?
We're trying to inhale Satan's spinach? I don't know."
"I bet. I got some gas for you boys. Meet me at Stickman Park at 6 p.m. sharp."
"Okay, bet."
And soon enough, it was 6 p.m. sharp and we were posted at Stickman Park. The homie Billy pulls up fully equipped with the gas.
"Yo, we gotta find somewhere discreet to do this."
"Oh, let's do it in the trees over there."
"Alright, that works.
So we walk into this little forest with a bench in it and Billy whips out the pipe.
What the fuck
is that?
"It's a pipe. I took it from my sister's room."
"Bro, are you sure you didn't accidentally take her dildo instead?"
Shut up, bro. Lots of people smoke out of these bad boys.
I don't know. There's just something about the way that it's shaped.
Are we smoking or not?
Yeah, we're smoking.
And then Billy takes out a plastic bag with a thug ass.
"Yo, take a whiff of this shit."
And at this point, I had never got a sniff of the za before. So when I did take a whiff,
damn, that's some strong shit right there.
Hell yeah.
And I got it from the plug for 50% off.
Damn, bro, this is gonna get us high as hell.
So Billy packed the pipe and handed it to me. He whipped out the lighter and said,
"Suck it."
"Hey, yo, pause."
"Oh my, alright, inhale."
"Oh, I got you."
And there it was, my very first hit of the Zaza. And I was coughing up a storm. And as Bob was taking his hit, I was sitting there like, am I high yet? Like, is this what it's supposed to feel like?
Nah, you gotta smoke some more to get baked.
So Billy packs some more into the pipe and hands it to me. I inhale. But still nothing. So me and Bob are looking at each other like,
bro, are we like invincible or some shit?
I think so.
And Billy's like, no, you have to inhale and hold it in your lungs for as long as possible.
So I try it. I inhale.
I held it, and then I was coughing up a storm again. We repeated these steps for like 20 minutes and still nothing. Now, me and Bob didn't know shit when it came to the topic of devil's lettuce, so we were just taking Billy's word for everything. Yo, don't worry, it'll hit you in like an hour. So we walk back to Bob's crib, and sure enough, an hour goes by.
Yo, are you high yet?
Nah, I still feel normal. What about you?
Yeah, I'm chilling.
So we waited and waited all night and nothing happened. Now, a quick scientific analysis of the situation. What had happened was Billy's plug saw that he was 13 and realized he could make a quick buck off him. So he had given him 50% off, however, he gave him straight stems. Now, if you're not sure what this means, let me break it down for you using enchanted broccoli. Now, we all know that broccoli is a nutritious vegetable. However, a wide majority of the nutrients are packed directly in the broccoli crown, leaving the stem of the broccoli with very small amounts of nutrients in comparison to the top part. This means that eating the top part of the broccoli will indeed make you big and strong. However, the stem itself lacks the capacities to, quote unquote, make you big and strong, if you know what I'm saying. Remember, eat your broccoli. So essentially, me and Bob were smoking that doo-doo pack, smoking straight Reggie. So Bob and I felt as though we needed some redemption, and we knew just the perfect day to do it. April 20th, 420. So today was the day we would really know what being zooted felt like. So me, Billy, and Bob went over to our homie's house, cause we knew this homie in particular would have the facilities to celebrate April 20th. So we knock on his door, he lets us in, and the first thing this motherfucker says is,
"So, are we smoking fat today or what?"
"Hey, yes, sir." "Alright, follow me." So we followed the homie into his mom's room, and when he opened her closet, she was equipped with every kind of grass you could imagine. He snatched a few pre-rolls and we went to his backyard. He lit up the first J and passed it straight to me. And after all these years, it felt as though my entire life had led me up to this very moment. I took a hit and got my real first taste of that Mary Jane. So we passed around the J's for a bit and my eyes and mouth started to dry up. So I'm like, "Alright, I'm gonna go get some water really quick." And the moment I stand up, it all hits at once. I just remember everything going into slow motion, and it felt like I was watching myself in a movie. Almost like it was a third person perspective. So I head into the homie's bedroom and I lay down on his bed because I was really trying to comprehend what the fuck was going on. Cause my frame rates were dropping, my time perception was fucked, and I was hungry as shit. So when Billy, Bob, and the homie walk into the room with snacks, bro, I was a munch. And so for the rest of the night, the four of us just chilled out, ate some snacks, and enjoyed our very first time with that enchanted broccoli.
Once the clock strikes 3 a.m., I feel like you've given up on trying to sleep. At this point, you're going to commit to whatever you decide to do until the sun comes up. Whether you're studying for tomorrow's math test, chilling on Discord with the boys, choking the chicken, or simply sulking in those 3 a.m. thoughts, you'll pretty much find yourself doing anything but sleeping. And I don't know if it's just me, but those 3 a.m. thoughts hit different. And honestly, it's just the perfect time to go for a walk, find a nice little view, maybe light up a joint, and just think. The youngest picture of you is the oldest picture of you. Does Lightning McQueen cop car insurance or life insurance? Wait, did the brain name itself? Hold up. What if soy milk is just regular milk introducing itself in Spanish? I have no clue if this is just me, but every once in a while when I'm laying in my bed at 3 a.m., I suddenly get the motivation to become the best person on the planet. Like, I set an alarm for 5 a.m., I tell myself I'm gonna go work out, then go for a run, then meditate, then drink kale smoothies, then become a millionaire, then donate it all to a family in need. But as soon as my alarm goes off, I'm just like, shit, I'm too tired for all that. Then I just end up sleeping until 1 p.m. And my brain is constantly playing games with me, bro. Like, tell me why I'll be using all my strength to stay awake during the day thinking, man, I can't wait to go to sleep tonight. But when it comes time to sleep, I just can't. I'll be left lying there at 5 a.m. awake as hell, watching these random motherfuckers build a two-story house with a hot tub in the jungle. And you know what? Being awake at 3 a.m. is kind of like being high a little bit. Because you start to think about things you don't usually think about. And because you get hit with the fucking munchies, bro. I'll be whipping up a three-course meal with appetizers and a complimentary dessert to watch a YouTube video. And listen, I can't explain why, but there is no better water than water at 3 a.m. I mean, it's pretty much a part of my sleep schedule now to wake up at 3, chug some water, take a piss, then go back to bed. But sometimes while I'm trying to go back to sleep, my brain just starts showing me a compilation of my top 15 cringiest moments. I mean, I'm having flashbacks to the time in grade 5 when I said a joke and nobody laughed. Guys, why did the monkey fall out of the tree?
Why? Why?
Because it was dead.
Oh.
Damn. Or I'll be up all night thinking about that one debate I had 3 years ago. Brainstorming about the best things I could have said in each scenario. It's like if I do some cringe shit during the day, I have no choice but to lose some sleep over it at night. It's like my punishment for saying some stupid shit. Like I know one guy who accidentally called his teacher mommy in front of the entire class. And that dude hasn't slept since.
Damn, light bulbs were such a good idea that they became the symbol for good ideas. God damn, I just spilled my water. Why does water make clothes darker? If water is clear,
what the fuck?
Yo, there's two guys coming.
On me.
Oh, I clapped his ass.
Yo, Billy.
Yeah, what's up?
You see that lamp right there?
Yeah. What about it?
That lamp, in the video game, uses real life electricity.
Whoa.
You know what I just realized?
When
a morgue worker dies, he still goes into work the next day.
Bro, how could he go to work? He's dead. Oh, shit. Oh, whoops. Just dropped the soap.
Wait. When you drop the soap, does the soap get dirty or does the floor get clean?
Wait, guys.
Since I'm alone, I'm the only person in the world to ever see this peanut.
Nah, I saw it too.
Who the fuck are you?
Yo, when did you get so much money?
Man, it's the money my grandma inherited me before she died. Yo, that's low key like when your homie dies in Fortnite and you pick up his loot. Come on, bro, my grandma's dead. Not cool.
You right, my bad.
Man, imagine the guy that discovered milk. And think about him convincing someone else to drink it.
You did what to the cow?
No, trust me, it's good, just drink it.
Wait, you drink it too?
Yeah, it's really good, look.
Aw, oh, hell nah.
Damn, bro. Mosquitoes are some brave creatures. Considering those jits got 1 HP.
Facts.
Yo, Chains! You need your parachute to skydive!
No, you don't. You just need a parachute to skydive twice.
No, Chains!
Well, what the fuck? Why did you just break my mirror?
Well, actually, mirrors don't break. They simply multiply.
Oh.
Damn, bro. We're all just some walking nut for real.
Facts.
Damn, for real.
It's crazy.
It's true, though.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. I'm on fire.
If you really think about it, you're not on fire. Fire is on you.
Call the fire truck.
Wait a minute. A fire truck is actually a water truck.
Oh, God damn. Just call the truck. Jesus.
Bro, I was on fire. Why didn't you just call the fire truck? First of all, you weren't on fire. The fire was on you. Second of all, it's a water truck. Bro, I got the munchies. We should cook some cookies or something. Nah, you don't cook cookies. You bake them. What? Then why are they called cookies? Shit, I don't know. Cookies are just cookies. No, that's like saying you cook bacon instead of baking it. Well, actually, you do. What the fuck?
Bro, what keeps the hot dog in like hot dog shape?
It's like meat inside some animal intestine casing or some shit. Okay, so it's hot dog meat inside animal casing, right?
Yeah.
So, hypothetically speaking, once you eat the hot dog, it's still hot dog meat inside animal casing, but you are the animal casing. So, with that being said, when you eat the hot dog, you become the hot dog.
Just let me eat my fucking hot dog, bro.
And that is why Genghis Khan has the most descendants in human history.
I actually know someone with more descendants than Genghis Khan.
Well, that's impossible. Who could possibly have more descendants than Genghis Khan?
Genghis Khan's dad.
Damn, you know Google Maps, right?
Yeah, of course.
Bro, someone at Google really just said,
"Yup, let's just have someone drive down every road on fucking Earth."
And then they did it. You know how concrete and glass are both made out of sand? Yeah, what about it? So if concrete and glass are both made out of sand, does that make skyscrapers just really big sand castles?
Yo!
How tall is the tallest person in the world? I don't know. Let me check. God damn, he's 8'1".
Holy!
You know what I'm thinking? Yeah, imagine getting railed by this absolute... No! I was thinking at one point, the tallest person has experienced the height of everyone else in the entire world. Holy shit. Paper has 6 sides.
Shh.
Like we're really just some talking nut for real.
Facts.
No cap.
Damn.
Just some breathing semen for real.
That's crazy.
For real.
It's facts.
So true.
Damn.
True.
For real.
Hey, little man. Well, what do you want to be when you're older?
I want to be a doctor and cure aging and all the diseases.
Well, if one day we cure all the aging and all the diseases, then we will all die painful and horrible deaths.
I still don't understand why it's a chair. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yo, you know what I just realized?
What?
The size of your hands is the font size you use in sign language.
Oh shit.
That motherfucker Shaq must be talking in all caps.
Sir, I am very sorry to inform you that you are bleeding internally.
Wait. I'm bleeding internally?
Yes, we will need an immediate operation and we will have to...
Oh, no, it's all good. Internally, that's where the blood's supposed to be.
No, sir, where are you going? This is an urgent matter. Get back here. You're in critical condition right now.
Yo, can you pass the Apple charger really quick?
Yeah, for sure.
Yo, what if Apple chargers were called Apple Juice?
Whoa.
Damn.
Yo.
Apple juice?
Bro.
You know what I just realized? You can drink a drink, but you can't food of food. Nah, that one was ass.
Yeah, you right, you right.
Like, I mean, we're literally just semen that can talk.
So true.
Facts.
That's
facts.
So crazy.
For real, for real. Yo, when you put your socks on inside out, the entire universe is wearing your socks, except you. Fuck. Yo, look, it's a unicorn. Damn, it's got a really unique horn. Unique horn? Unicorn! Unique horn? Unicorn! Unicorn! Unique horn!
Unicorn!
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 Unicorn! Oh! Leaves are called leaves because they leave the tree.
Holy shit, I got an idea. Can you pass me the wrench? Rope. Glue. Piece of pizza, please. Tape. A little more tape. Damn. Big ass magnet. Alright, all done.
Whoa!
This bad boy uses zero gas. It's completely eco-friendly. Hop in.
Oh shit, there's a penny. Bro, there's no point in picking up a penny. It's literally worth 1 cent. How much do you make working at Wendy's? $15 an hour? Oh, okay. So you see, there are 3,600 seconds in an hour. And because you make $15 an hour, that is exactly 0.416 pennies per second. So with this being said, the second it takes to pick up this penny off the ground is a net positive outcome. Oh, okay. Wait a minute. Are stick men always naked? Holy shit, we are stick men. What the
hey,
fuck?
Yo.
Skipping class in high school is a slippery slope. Like, one day you can skip and it'll slide no problem, like...
Oh, hey, buddy, welcome back. We missed you.
Yeah. You skip 2 days, you're chilling.
Hey, look who's back.
Yeah. But when you go to class after skipping 3 days, all of a sudden shit is serious.
Chains, what? Why haven't you been here, huh?
Well, you know, it was some family stuff.
Oh, yeah, family stuff. What family stuff?
I don't really want to talk about...
What family stuff?
It was my grandma's funeral.
Damn. But that is no reason to miss a test.
And Lord forbid, if you miss a whole week, the school board turns into the FBI. Like, during the whole pandemic, one of my homies refused to go to any online classes. And one day, he was enjoying his extended vacation while smoking up outside his crib. Next thing he knows, he's making direct eye contact with his science teacher while smoking grass. And because they started going FBI mode when you skip your classes, the homies discovered a top secret method so we could skip classes with zero consequences. So, when you would skip a class, the teachers would instantly hop on their laptops and whip up an email along the lines of,
Mrs. Farrell, are you aware that your son, Chains, has missed his science class today? If this is continued, Chains' grade will continue to drop, which might ultimately lead to him failing my class. Mr. Perkinson.
Now, Mr. Perkinson would write these emails with the hopes of my mom reading them and then beating my ass. When it really went like, my mom would read it and she would politely ask me how my science class was today, I would cap my ass off and then she would proceed to beat my ass. And one day after I got my shit whooped, I was talking to the homie Bob. Yo, we're going to Chipotle next class. You trying to come? Man, I don't know. I'm getting real tired of these ass whoopings, bro.
Ass whoopings? You're
getting ass whoopings? Yeah, bro. Mr. Perk never fails to type up an email that results in the leather belt.
Oh, what? Nobody ever told you about the secret method?
Secret method? Oh, you mean like wearing extra pants so the belt doesn't hit so hard? No, I'm talking about the secret method so Mr. Perkinsons can't email your mom.
Why didn't you tell me sooner, bro?
So essentially, the method starts at the very beginning of the school year. At my school, they would give you this form with your parents' email, phone number, all the contact information, you know what I'm saying? You would need this form filled out and signed by a parent or guardian and then handed into the office. However, this man, Bob, conceptualized one of the greatest plans of our generation. And it went like this. So you would receive the empty form from the school, take it home to your parent / guardian, get that shit filled out, and get that signature. Then secretly, when nobody is watching, you hop on your computer, you make a fake email, like bobsmom123@gmail.com. Then you would change your mom's contact information into that fake ass email, and then deliver it to the office like nothing happened. So when Mr. Perkinson's smartass tries to get me whooped with one of those emails, I get that shit in my inbox. I read it through and respond with some shit like, "Dear Mr. Perkinson's, thank you very much for bringing this to my attention. I was unaware of my son's absence in pursuing his educational prowess. I will discipline him with a punishment that may or may not involve me whooping the absolute shit out of his tushy. Thank you, Mr. Perkinson's." And I already know this dude, Mr. Perkinson's, was reading that email like, "Oh, yup, he is definitely getting his ass beat tonight." Meanwhile, I was typing that shit up in bed while munching on some nachos. So you best believe I was abusing this newly found secret strategy. I mean, I was missing every other class. And it was just all sunshine and rainbows. But you know what they say, it's not all sunshine and rainbows. I mean, I really don't recommend using this strategy. And I'm not saying that to be some mature role model. I say that because there was one flaw in the strategy Bob forgot to tell me. And that was, as soon as my mom saw my report card with all those absences,
God damn,
she made up for every single beating I missed. As a broke stick man like myself, I spent my fair share of time on the bus. And if you spend a long enough time on the bus, you will see some weird ass shit. I mean, I remember my first time getting on the bus by myself. I was feeling strong and independent. Next thing I know, a crackhead sits down beside me talking about,
"Yabba dabba doo, the world is ending and you're gonna die a painful and lonely death, buddy."
And just like that, I went from strong and independent to shitting my pants. Yeah, bro, the bus is just something else. Like, 1 in 10 people who enter the bus are straight gremlins, bro. I'm talking about the gremlins who know the perk is fake, but they still pop it. Now you just gotta sit next to this motherfucker for another 30 minutes while he tells you about the kids in his basement. But to be fair, these gremlins aren't even the worst part of the bus. The worst part of the bus is the energy. You walk in there and everyone just stops and looks at you like they're sizing you up or some shit. And you know who sizes you up the most? The fucking goddamn motherfucking bus driver, bro. These bus drivers are just eternally pissed off. Every time I would get off the bus, I would try and cheer bro up, but they're just like allergic to happiness or some shit. "Hey, thank you. Have a great day, man."
"Shut your ugly ass up, little boy. I already know you get no bitches with your big ass forehead, no drip having ass with your skinny ass arms. Boy, you're built like a stick man, bruh."
Damn. Hey, bro, there could really only be two reasons why these bus drivers are so mad all the time. Either they had a demon villain origin story where they were abandoned as a child and never shown any form of love until one day. In freshman year of high school, Timmy met Linda. Linda was kind, smart, beautiful, and she paid attention to Timmy when nobody else would. Timmy asked Linda to be his girlfriend, and she said yes. They dated all throughout high school, and they even got into the same university so they could be together forever. Until one day, when Timmy's world was flipped upside down. Timmy found out Tyrone had been laying some mean pipe on Linda this entire time. Everyone in Timmy's school made fun of him. Timmy could not let this slide. So he called out Tyrone to run the ones in front of the entire school. And without a single word, Tyrone winds up and hits Timmy with the meanest left hook any stick man had ever seen, leaving Timmy slept, out cold, unconscious, in front of his classmates, his teachers, and even in front of Linda. 'Cause shit, if that happened to me, I'd be just as mad as Timmy over here. Now, realistically, the only other reason these drivers are so constantly mad would be because the driver's seat secretly has a stick built in. You see, this would explain why the driver constantly has a stick up his ass. I mean, shit, you really can't even blame him for being mad. But still, I'm gonna blame him. 'Cause I know these motherfuckers get pleasure whenever they see me running at full speed trying to make it to the bus stop in time. 'Cause they start stepping on the gas.
Dumbass.
To be honest, there's nothing that leaves you more defeated than when you're sprinting to a bus stop. Then that shit just cruises on by and everyone on the bus is laughing at you. Damn. Honestly, at that point, I just give up and go home. But it hits a little bit different when that bus is your only way home. And it was the last bus. 'Cause it's 2 a.m. And now you gotta bunk up with the gremlins on the side of the street. All because that goddamn bus driver had a stick up his ass. Man, way back when, there was a time when you couldn't catch anyone under the age of 30 chiefing a vape. Until one day at Vaporizer Laboratories, they were cooking up and made a flavor that would change the game forever. Cotton candy. Now this revolutionary flavor forced these grown-ass 30-year-old men to take a good look in the mirror and ask themselves,
"Damn, what do I look like as a grown-ass man sucking on this goddamn cotton candy stick?"
So they do what any responsible adult would do. They give it to their children. I mean, shit, kids love cotton candy. All of a sudden, business is booming for Vaporizer Laboratories, so they start cooking up even harder. Boom, Sour Patch Kids juice. Boom, applesauce juice. And boom, baby food juice. These babies will be sucking that shit like a soother. Kids' first words will be looking like,
"Oh my god, honey, Jackson's gonna say his first words."
Oh, let's hear it.
Yo, Pops, well, let me bum a hit off that 50-nit guava ice, G.
Yo, just wait till they drop that breast milk flavor, bro. Shit, these newborn babies won't even know what hit them. They'll be returning customers for life, which will probably be like 12 years max. Now, the reason I say all this is to let you know that vaping not only intruded my high school years, but also my years in middle school. I was first introduced to these bad boys at the ripe age of 13. And with a little bit of that good old peer pressure, I folded, bro. Like, what was I supposed to do, bro? Like not take the hit?
No,
I probably should not have taken a hit. But from that point on, I started doing a little dabbling, you know. I mean, as a 13-year-old, there's only one answer to someone asking, "Yo, dude, you want to try a hit of this blueberry guacamole milkshake ice flavor, dude?" And that answer is, abso-fucking-lutely, dude. And I was never a fiend or anything, but I will say, I popped a few ghosts and blown a few O's back in my day, but it had never gotten to the point of me owning a vape. Until one day. This story takes place way, way, way back in grade 7. Me and the boys were posted in science class dissecting cow balls or some shit when Mr. Principal burst through the door like,
"Is Tessa here?"
Yeah, she's right there.
And I look at Tessa and she just tosses her vape over to her homie, Kate. And I seen that shit clear as day, but Mr. Principal's old ass must have forgot to wear his contacts or something. 'Cause he runs a quick pat down on Tessa looking for said vape, but sure enough, he doesn't find it.
"Miss Rhodes told me you were vaping in her class. Is this true?"
"Psh, no, I would never."
Okay.
And then the bell rang and everybody knew what that meant.
It was Nut Break.
Now I don't know who the fuck decided to name our recess Nut Break, but I will say most of the students understood that that shit was short for Nutrition Break. However, some kids took it a little too literally.
Weird ass school, man.
But this specific Nut Break, you best believe, me and the boys weren't busting nuts or eating nutritional foods because Billy had something else on his mind.
Yo, who's got you smiling like that?
Who, me? nah, it's nobody.
It's nobody.
Yo, wait, you got a crush on Tessa?
What?
Tessa?
Me?
Yeah. Yeah, I got a crush on, yeah.
Oh, sick. Go talk to her, bro.
Talk to No.
Bro, it's simple. She's new to the school. She's probably looking for some friends. So just walk over and introduce yourself.
You're right. I'm just going to do it.
Yes, sir.
Hey, did I just sell that shit?
Yep. You did.
Then the bell rings and we all go to PE class. Now in my middle school, your class was your class. You just have the same students and the same underqualified teacher teaching everything. Like, Lord knows Mr. Donaldson shouldn't be teaching PE, but shit, here we are. And so while we're playing dodgeball, I'm trying to coach Billy on how to confess his love for Tessa, but I'ma keep it a buck. I was speaking straight out of my ass, bro. I don't know the first thing about confessing love. Listen, bro, I'm the expert when it comes to confessing love. All you gotta do is walk up with confidence, introduce yourself, and then ask her to be your girlfriend, bro.
Okay, simple. Let's practice.
Hey, Vanessa. My name's Billy and, Do you wanna be my girlfriend?
Damn!
And after the proper training, by the time lunch came around, Billy was prepared to do what had to be done.
Alright, listen, bro. Whatever happens out there, me and Bob got your back, and remember, the worst she can say is no, bro.
Alright, I'm ready.
You got this.
Hey, Vanessa. I'm Billy. I seen you in science class today, and you were looking very pretty, and, Do you want to be my girlfriend?
Fuck no.
She laughed, bro. She laughed in Billy's face. And he walks back to us with tears in his eyes.
She laughed at me, bro.
Well, at least you know what they say.
What?
If you can make her laugh and giggle, you can make the cheeks clap and
not
jiggle.
Not right now, bro.
You're right. Too soon. Needless to say, that brother Billy went home that night, listened to Juice WRLD, and cried himself to sleep. Shit, the next day, Billy didn't even say a word, but I could hear Lucid Dreams on full blast in those earbuds. Man, it's a tough sight to see. Next thing I know, Mr. Principal bursts in the class talking about,
"Alright, Tessa, in my office, right now."
Now, I don't know why she was in trouble, but whatever she was accused of, she's guilty, bro. And she's also guilty on 1/3 degree count of breaking my man's heart. And as I'm busy praying on Tessa's downfall, I get a little tap on my shoulder like, "Psst, take this. Mr. Principal's looking for it and he's not gonna check you."
Whose is it?
It's Tessa's.
Don't worry, it's safe with me.
And it was safe with me, cause that shit was now mine. The only way she could get it back is if she repaired my boy Billy's heart, and that just wasn't happening. And soon enough, Tessa comes back from Mr. Principal's office and she didn't say a word. We had Nut Break, nothing. We went to PE, nothing. And then we went to math class. And as I was chilling in math class, calculating the square root of pi and shit, I get a tap on my shoulder again. "Psst, Tessa wants her vape back."
Vape? What vape?
The one I handed you this morning, you know, it was purple. And...
Oh, that vape. Oh,
yeah, I threw that shit in the bushes. So she reports back to the person who gave her the vape, and she reports back to the person who gave her the vape, etc., etc., until Tessa finds out, and she looks pissed. So she whispers to her friend, who whispers to her friend, etc., etc.
What bush did you throw it in?
Oh, the one out back. And to put it in perspective, the bush out back was fucking massive. It was this huge conglomerate of straight prickle bushes, and so pretty much, her vape was gone, bro. And I went to sleep that night with a smile on my face, knowing I not only saved Tessa's lungs, but also Billy's heart. The next day, I went to class, sat down with the boys as always, but something was different. Tessa and her homies were nowhere to be seen. I shrug it off and continue to make some groundbreaking studies in science class until I hear Billy like,
"Bro, no fucking way."
So I turn around to not only see Tessa and her friends waist high in prickle bushes looking for this vape, but I also see Mr. Principal forcing them to do it. Now this was truly a beautiful sight to see revenge play out this perfectly. Like Billy was sitting at the window the entire class watching him do a whole search party for this vape that was posted in my pocket. And just when I thought Billy couldn't get happier, the next day Tessa and her friends had to present a PowerPoint to the entire school on why vaping is bad.
Vaping is bad because when the vape enters your lungs, it's not good for your lungs.
Man, karma is real, because not only did Tessa understand how it felt to be laughed at, but the next day, my friend came up to me like, "Can I use that vape for the day?" And I wasn't using that shit, so I said,
"Yeah, sure."
And at the end of the day, you'll never guess what she told me, bro.
"Yo, you still got the vape?"
No, I threw it in the bush out back.
Greening out is the worst thing you